If you will, go to the Lord with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, you are such a good God. Lord, you are a deliverer. You delivered our sister from things evil seen and unseen, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, we come to you this morning to ask you to open our eyes and our hearts and our ears and our minds to your word and your way and your truth, Lord. Lord, I pray if there's anyone out here who doesn't know you and the pardon of their sins, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will draw them, that you will turn their hearts and change their minds, that they might say, what must I need to be saved? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 11. The book of Romans, chapter 11. I want you all to know we're hanging out in this book for a while, because this book, especially this chapter, has just got me all wired up because what God is showing us in here. The book of Romans, chapter 11. And we'll be reading from verses 11 through 25. And in the King James Bible, it reads, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Verse 19. Thou wouldst say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. I want to use as a key verse. Keep that verse, this verse 25 in mind. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits. Just that portion right there. And today we're going to talk about, may I have your attention, please. May I have your attention, please. This is a very, very, very important segment of Scripture. This is crucial, crucial understanding to God's entire plan. Think about this for a minute. You're traveling. And in this last week or so, people are traveling and the weather is shaky And so you hear your plane got delayed. Something happened to the plane. Plane got delayed. Okay. And so you're sitting there. You're waiting. You're waiting for something to be. You're waiting for something. You want to hear what's going on. I'm waiting on my flight. And I know my flight's coming. I'm waiting on my flight. And they say, well, the plane's going to be delayed for a while. So you kind of nod off. And then all of a sudden, you hear a, may I have your attention, please? Flight 535, you have 5 minutes to board. And you know flight 535 is over there, and you're over here. You see people with white canes, wheelchairs, bags coming out this stuff, running. People who you never thought could outrun you, run because they got their attention. Something, if this doesn't, if you don't make it to this plane, you think you were delayed before. Wait till they say tomorrow, okay? This portion of scripture, the word of God is saying, Gentiles, I need for you to pay attention to something. I need for you to hear what thus saith the Lord, because I have a plan, and you may have not hitherto been privy to understanding this plan, but let me make this plan perfectly clear to you. Not only do I want your attention, I want you. And I need you to be an active participant in this plan. Well, what is this, Lord? What we're going to talk about in these verses from verse 11 to verse 25, we're going to talk about God's plan of salvation. Because you know he's got it all planned out. He had it planned out from Genesis 3:15. Actually, he had it planned out from the foundation, before the foundations of the earth. But he first let us know back in Genesis 3:15 when he promised that the seed of a woman was going to bring salvation to the world. And even most of us didn't understand, even the first time we read it, the first few times, women don't have seed. Women have eggs. How's this going to happen? The Bible says a virgin birth. But that was the first spoken occasion of that. And he says, I have a plan. So we're going to talk about God's plan of salvation. We're going to talk about God's plan of reconciliation. All this is contained in here. And then we're going to talk about God's plan for the nations. God is not just interested in the DFW area. God is not just interested in the United States of America. God is, and he is interested and intimately interested in the entire world. And guess what? He said, I'm going to let you help me out. I'm going to let you help me out. I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up and my dad would be doing some kind of construction something, and before I found it was work, y'all, before I found out it was work, you know, before kids find out that work is work, they want to help you. So I said, Daddy, can I do something? Daddy, can I do something? And he'd give me a hammer. And basically, he said, don't hurt yourself. Man, I go drive nails into trees and the boards. I I get the help. You know what? We should all have that. When God says, hey, come here. I got some work for you. And it's urgent work. We should have that same urgency that we have when you hear that the plane is pulling out in 5 minutes. You get up and go. But when it's time to come to church, when it's time to serve the Lord, I got time. I got time. I'm fitting. I'll be there when I get there. Y'all just wait on me. Amen. God is saying in these texts, he says, I need you and I need you now. You know why he needs us? Why he desires us? Now, he could do it all by himself. I know he could because he's God. He could do everything. But he wants us to have that joy of participating in the labor of his fields. Amen? Let's talk about God's plan. God's plan of salvation. I could even say it's God's plan. He has planned to save. From the beginning, he had planned to save. And then, and we've all heard about the chosen people, the Jews. And many of us get a really bad attitude about the Jews because why did he choose them? Because he's God. And he's sovereign. And he can do what he wants to do. And understand, Preacher said, and I when I heard it, I said, "Ooh, that was good." I'm so glad God is sovereign, and understand this. God, this is what the preacher said, and it might take a moment for you to get this. God answers our prayers the same way we would answer our prayers if we knew what he knew. You think about that. See, because we ask for all kinds of stuff, but we don't know what's good for us. We don't know what's bad for us. God has a plan. He chose the Jews. You're saying, well, why didn't you choose me? You better be thankful. Go read their history. Read their history. But understand, he had everybody in mind, Jew and Gentile in mind. And that's where you're going to see this mystery that Paul talks about. You're going to get to see it unfold because we don't think like God thinks and we don't do the things like God does. So therefore, we have to read his word and grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. Amen. He says here in verse 11, we're going verses 11 through 14. And he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? He's talking about the Jewish people. Now, we just finished reading the whole Old Testament, the covenant of God between the Jewish people. That was God's promise to the Jewish people. So pretty much everything you read in the Old Testament is to the Jews and for everybody else. So that's why don't get mixed up in what God is saying to the Jews. It's to the Jews and for us to get a greater understanding for the Gentiles, which he brings into his plan, as you will see here in Romans 11. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. We hit on this a little bit last week, but I just want to expound on it a little bit more. God says to the Gentiles, anybody who is not of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you are not of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are a Gentile by definition. You are a Gentile. And now you get to see what was all of this planning going on about the Gentiles. Now, God has always permitted the Gentiles to come in, but they were what you call proselyte Jews. So they always had to go through a process. The men had to be circumcised. They had to follow the Mosaic law like everybody else, had to do the sacrifices. But that was when the Gentiles were trying to join up with the Jews. God said, wait a minute. He said, through the cross, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said, the veil has been torn. He said, understand, in the temple, there was this big veil that divided the Holy of Holies, and not everybody could just rush in. He said, but the veil has been torn, and guess what? Now salvation has come to everybody. What's that called? Whosoever will. That's good news, y'all. That's good news. And he said, I've torn the veil. I've made it open to everybody. He said, but understand, because I made it open to everybody, some people aren't going to be happy. And some of those people are the first ones. You know, like the big brother, he was a single child, he was the only child for about 6 years. And then all of a sudden, here come little brother. And he got to share everything he got. And that doesn't sit well with a lot of people. It doesn't. In fact, you read the story of the prodigal. You read the story of the prodigal. The father gave all of his inheritance to the son, to the younger son, and the younger son went out and squandered it on riotous living. And who got mad? The older son. Older son said, look here, I've been faithful. I stayed here and I served you the whole time. I wasn't like him. So he was upset. Y'all, church, the fact that God opened the door to you and me, not every Jewish person was happy. They had a special thing going on with God. But understand, even all the Jews who brought us the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, they were Jews who had to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, which made them completed Jews. Amen. They had believed God for the fulfillment of his word and of his truth. So now, look at how God takes the Jewish new believers, the ones who have received the entire message of God, and he uses those Jewish believers to teach the Gentiles. I love this plan. He said, I take this to teach the Gentiles. I use Jews to bring us the gospel, the very oracles of God. So now, all these Gentiles, we happy. We happy. We don't know what do you call those things? We don't know a first fruit from a drink offering to a praise. We don't know anything about that. We don't know anything about Passover. We don't know anything about the Sabbaths, Tabernacles. We don't know anything about that. That's all Jewish stuff. But what we do know, I know Jesus. And I know that Jesus saved me. I know that he came, he died, he rose from the dead. And he said, I saved you. And that's enough. And the Jews are mad because they had to go do this thing and do that thing. And then you guys going to walk up in here like all you got to do is just believe. My wife and I were witnessing to a Muslim young lady. My prayers that she received it. But we were talking to her, telling her about the good news of Jesus Christ. And she's telling us about, well, we do this and we do that. She's trying to convert us. It was fun, y'all. It was fun, but it's serious business. She was on her job. I pray that all of us will be on our job. She was on her job. She said, well, you know, we do this. And she goes, when you come to a mosque, she said, you see people of all colors and all. And she's like, I'm going to be impressed by a bunch of people who are all trying to impress God with how good they are. All of them coming to show God how they started living good. And I said to her, well, when we come to church, you come see all kinds of folks here too. But we come to tell God how good he is. Amen. And you know what she said to us? She said, well, that's just easy. Yes, it is. It is. But Jesus paid it all. You know, there's teachers out there who say they have a problem with easy beliefism. I do not have a problem with easy beliefism. Believe that Jesus Christ came. He died. He rose from the dead, paying for your sins. Do you believe that? Yes. God wanted to make it a level playing field across the entire world. So why aren't people saved? Because of their heart. It's simple. It's not necessarily easy because I have to get beyond me. I've got to, but please stop putting up barriers for people. Stop putting up barriers. If a man's heart is right, salvation is easy. If a man's heart is right, salvation is easy. You can't get any easier than the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do? Well, you got to go get circumcised. You got to get bar mitzvah. You got to go keep the feast. You got to go do this. You got to go to church. Y'all, stop that. Stop it. Believe on the name of Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And then he'll clean you up from the inside out. If you were cleaned up, you wouldn't even be here. He cleans us up from the inside out. So the young lady was telling me how easy it was. And I told her, yes, it is easy. And that's why I'm inviting you. Just believe on the name of Jesus Christ, and you too shall be saved. God sent his Jewish teachers to the Gentiles to give them the message of salvation. And when the Gentiles got saved, the Bible says in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 11, God said, I did this purposely to provoke the Jews to jealousy. I wanted those people, my chosen people. God said, I'm not through with them. And that's what we have to understand. That's what this mystery is. He's not through with them, but they still need to be saved. They have to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, because of how you live and how I live, that's when a Jewish person is going to look at your life and determine whether what the Bible says about Jesus is true. That's deep. Because I want you and I to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself and say, what would anybody be jealous of that I got? That's a harsh reality. But I'm telling you, if you got Jesus, if you really believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for your sins, do you know what? There's a joy in you that can't nobody take away. There's a joy in you that when you walk into the room, some people say, I perceive that man, that woman has been with Jesus. And that's what the Jewish unbeliever is looking for and looking at. They're looking at you. Well, how do I know? Where do I run into Jewish people, Pastor? Everywhere. They're scattered everywhere. At the radio station where we're doing Heaven 97, guess what? One of the ladies there, Jewish young lady. What's she doing at Heaven 97? Hearing the word. Amen. And so when he says, I saved you to provoke them to jealousy, understand, your money won't do it. Your education won't do it. Your family tradition will not do it. They have to look at you and see something that they don't have. They have all those things and they have them in great abundance. But what they do not have is they do not have the joy of salvation. And they're watching you. And when they see that, when they see, you know, when the Bible talks about King David, when he was, David got so happy, he was just dancing. He was just dancing. He was just dancing because he knew that he belonged to God. He knew that him and God had a righteous relationship. They don't have that. They don't have that. You should. You should. You should be like the old folks where they say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And they just be happy. Be broke. Be broke. Living in a house where you could look through the walls and tell me, I got my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm like, oh, my goodness. We live in houses where we got to use, intercoms to talk to the person on the other side and got no joy. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. People have to see it in us, and you cannot give it to somebody else unless you have it. So God said, I saved you specifically to provoke the Jews to jealousy. And then he says, now in verse 12, he says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, that means if God's setting them to the side, because they didn't, he's not through with them. And this is the portion between verse 11 and verse 25, the mystery that he's explaining to the entire world. God is not through with the Jews. He just has a plan that he's working it out, and he's using us to work it out, and he's working it through us. Amen. He says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? He's saying that if I have set them to the side and it is causing you and I to get the good news of Jesus Christ. He goes, if I did that and it brought that much goodness into your life, that much joy into your life, that much beauty into the world at large, he's saying, what'd have happened if you and I would take God's plan to the street? What'd have happened? I was talking with a couple of my brothers the other day, and I think about the inner city. In the inner city, we give money, we give food, we get shoes, we get shelter. We've been doing it for how many years, y'all? How many? Year after year after year after year after year, and folks still broke. You think maybe somebody say, we need to try a new way. Maybe somebody would say, I was listening to the radio. Listen, you know, faith comes by hearing, hear by the word of God. I heard the preacher talking about that. And understand, giving you food, the money, the clothes, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But here's what we're not giving. Here's what we're not giving. The gospel message of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're telling them about Jesus, but here's the rest of the story. Those people that you don't like, the Jews, guess what? Guess what? I'm calling you to go talk to them. Amen. I want you. I don't want to talk to them. Then that's your opinion. He says, I want, this is my plan. I give you salvation. You have this joy. Now you take this joy that I gave you and you take it to them. That's his plan. And watch how, and that's not foreign. That's not, see, we do programs like all other cultures. We do programs to benefit us. What happened to that scripture, esteem others above yourself? What happened to that? How about if you go do that for them instead of for you, and they're trying to do that for you instead of for them? Do you realize pretty soon we'll start talking to each other just like Christian folks spoke to? My, what a plan. What a plan. God says, he goes, the Christians, and he's not a respecter of cultures or people or colors. He said, but to the Christian folk, I want you to purpose in your heart to get this gospel message out to the Jew first and then also to the Greeks or to the Gentiles. He said, but through this, by you esteeming others above yourself. What did Jesus say? The scripture says, even unbelievers take care of their own family. You haven't done anything by reaching out to your family. I mean, you did good, but when you reach out to somebody who's not family, when you reach out to somebody who maybe even historically has been at odds with you, that's big, y'all. That's big. You know, it's strange that we do that during a national disaster when the hurricanes hit down in Houston, when my brother here was over in Puerto Rico. Isn't it odd that everybody of every culture, and especially Christian folks, y'all, don't let folks fool you. It's a lot of Christian folks just reaching with no regard of reward or who that person is. They're just trying to. But then after the disaster is over, we all go back to our holy huddles. Something wrong with that picture. And God is saying it right here. Here's how you fix it. He goes to the Gentiles. He says, I want to use you to provoke the Jews to jealousy. And in verse 13, he says, I speak to you Gentiles. That's why I say, may I have your attention, please? Because he was talking to Jew and Gentile up to this point. But right now, he's saying specifically, Gentiles, I need your attention. I need your attention, please. I got something specific. I told you the Old Testament was written to the Jews and for us. He's saying to the world right now, this is to the Gentiles and for them. But I'm talking to the Gentiles, anybody who's not of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm talking to you. He says, and Paul is saying, for as much as I speak, verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Wait a minute. And if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh that and might save some of them. Listen for a minute. Verse 11, he says, the Gentiles are to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Paul says, if by any means, in verse 14, if I may provoke to emulation though them which are my flesh. Paul is saying to the Jews. So the word is going to you Gentiles. I want you to provoke to jealousy the Jews. The same Greek word is used for jealousy and emulation. But the context determines how the word is translated. Jealousy in verse 11 is how dare you think you got a relationship with God, you Gentile dog. That's jealousy. Emulation. How many of y'all got emoji on your thing? Okay. You got emoji. Your emoji supposed sort of kind of represents you, right? Paul is saying to the Gentiles, you Gentiles, your life provokes the Jews to jealousy, where they're your enemy temporarily. But Paul says, what I'm doing, don't forget, I told you, he sent the Jews where? To the Gentiles to be the teachers. Paul says, my prayer is that by doing this, some of my brethren, some of my Jewish brethren, want to emulate, be like me. And when they be like me, some will be saved. That's his prayer. Look at all the depth of the wonder of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Man, he said, I'm going to use the same people to make this group jealous and to make this group want to be like them. Man, God is so, so, so deep. He says, and Paul says, that's how I'm going to expand my outreach. He said, well, I say I'm going to magnify my office. You want good shepherds, you want to know how our kingdom building is going to go? This is how our kingdom building is going to go. When we do what God said to do, when we witness to the Jew first and then the Gentile, when we make them our primary, the word would be concern, because they're God's chosen. And understand, y'all, did not God promise to take care of everything you need? Didn't he say that? He said that to us. He said that to us so plain. He said, don't even worry about tomorrow. Don't even worry about tomorrow. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep. God said, I have you covered. Now, if you believe that, I got some work for you to do over here. Amen. I got some folks over here who need the word, and I want to use you to do it. That's God's, part of God's plan of salvation. He says, but then we get to verse 15. That's verses 11 through 14. But then we get to God's plan of reconciliation. God's plan of reconciliation. Let's see what we have here in 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the recovery of them be but life from the dead? Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you know what God has called you and me to do? Do you know? I mean, everybody wants to do what they want to do. We all have our own plans and our own desires and our own thing that we want to do. But do you understand that God is telling you in these passages, he said, I have given you the ministry, the charge of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Bringing things back together again. He says, one of the biggest splits was Jew and Gentile. But through his son, Jesus Christ, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he took on the sins of anybody and everybody who called upon the name of Jesus, and he paid for their sins. And so now they're in Jesus and Jesus is in them. So they are now reconciled. We are reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Great news. We're reconciled to God. But now what about the people? How do I get reconciled to the people I don't like? How do I get reconciled to the people who have caused me grief from the day I was born? How do I do it? Give them the word. I give them the word of God. And I speak to them in love. And guess what? I told the brothers in my office this morning. I said, if you don't love them other folks, then keep your mouth shut. Okay? Okay? In the scriptures, I think it might be Habakkuk, I'm not sure, where God told the people, Hosea. God told the, he told the Jews, he said, psst, psst, psst. don't let anybody you know, let anybody know you know me. The Bible is great, y'all. The Bible is great. God said, if y'all gonna live like that and act like that, keep it down low. Okay? So if y'all gonna be over here on this with your friends on Facebook talking crazy, don't go out here in the street telling somebody, well, I want to tell you about Jesus. Don't just that's called spiritual schizophrenia. Don't do that. Don't do that. But if you understand the love of Christ, if you understand this mystery, if you understand what God did for you, no, when I come to the understanding of what God did for me, I gotta tell everybody. I gotta tell everybody. I can't not tell somebody. I was the enemy of God. And while I was yet his enemy, he sent his son that I might have life. Oh, y'all. And he says, and what did Jesus say? I have given you the ministry of reconciliation. I've called you, Mr. Gentile, to go, and I want you to get along with the Gentile world. I want you to get along with your family. But now, because of how you relate to them, you'll be able to say to a Jewish person who's already been watching you, let me tell you about the God I serve. Amen. Let me tell you about the God I serve. Look at God's plan. God's plan is so wonderful. His plan of a, how many of y'all, let me see if I can date a few folks. How many of y'all used to watch your mother get the, what was that, Easy Off? How'd that name come to be? Easy Off. Used to watch your mama clean the oven with Easy Off. That old nasty, sticky stuff. Just easy off. But oh my goodness, if that stuff didn't kill you, it would clean the stove. Amen. Guess what? Remember how everybody shouted when self-cleaning ovens came out? Oh! You just push the button, you wait a little bit, you open the door, bam! Oven is clean. Y'all thought that was something. Look at God's plan for cleaning us up. Look at God's plan for cleaning us up. God said, you see that brother over there with that speck in his eye? I want you to go tell him. He ain't living right. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go and let him have it. Tell him. He living adulterous life. Just let him have it. But before you go, look in the mirror. Before you go, look in the mirror. What's that I see, Lord? It's a plank, a 2x6 stuck in your own eye. Now, see, lots of times we as Christians, we want to stop right there. Well, okay, I can't judge nothing. I can't say. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said, get that plank out of your eye and still go over and tell your brother he ain't living right. Don't knock off that, who am I to judge? If you got Jesus, you're just the right person to judge. You have the mind of Christ. You're supposed to. Only thing you can't judge about somebody is if they're saved or not. You can tell if they're living right, if they're not. You can do that. That's not rocket science. That's God's plan. And that's what he says to us. See, all these dots get connected. He says, let me get your life. Let me get your mind where it's supposed to be. And then I can use you, because then you may not believe this, but other folks will see the difference in you. You hear me? Folks will see the difference in you. And you know I'm telling the truth, because when you went to class reunions and you saw, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so, and you knew something had changed in their life. You knew something had changed in life. They may have been whatever the worst thing you could possibly thought of in high school. But you know what? Somewhere along the line, they cried out to Jesus. And he saved them. And the next time you saw them, they may have had the same address, may have some of the same old clothes. But that was a new creature that you ran into. Y'all, we got to want that for everybody. We got to want the joy of salvation for everybody. He says, God said, I've given you this plan of reconciliation, and I expect you
I expect you to take this seriously. I expect you to go into the world to the Jew first and then the Gentiles, and I expect you to let people know, those who are at odds with God, I expect you, not,
oh, let me get my pastor for you.
No. Let me get Deacon so-and-so. No.
Oh, my mama, she real good at the Bible. I get my mama. No.
He's expecting you to take charge of that. And if all you know is I once was blind and now I see, you know more than that other person knows about Jesus Christ. Tell them. You're not responsible for them turning, but we are responsible for us telling. Amen? Church, we get this. This is the joy. This is the fun part of being a Christian. It's because most people, we think, well, we just become a Christian just to come in and sit and you know, sit on the pews, keep them warm, come back on next Sunday. You know, there's the spot that I left. I come dust it off. Now I come back and I do my Jesus thing. No, your Jesus thing is all week long. I love, you know, I want that we stand. It's easy to stand up for God in here. You got folks shouting and encourage you and everything. But when you get on that job, don't forget, he put us out there, y'all. He put us out there. You got that job because God gave you that job. He says, I want you to represent me wherever I put you. Wherever I put you. And you just got to practice it. Just got to practice it. That which you do most, you'll do best. Amen. Let's move on. God's plan of salvation, God had planned to save us all along. And then we come here in verse 15 through 21, where he talks about the ministry of reconciliation. He says in verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? He's talking about the response to you and I taking this message of reconciliation out. He's talking about, if you want to see, and think about this. God took 12 Jewish men. Jesus took 12 Jewish men. Man. And as a result of the labor of 12 Jewish men, in 2019, we are sitting here in this church today. Amen. Think about that. He says, because of what you do, when you get his folks involved in this, he says here in verse 15, he said, it is like life from the dead. My very first sermon years ago was Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, Valley of Dry Bones. I thought I understood it, but I didn't. But it preached really good. Had the essence of it, I think. But when I was studying for this message, God brought it home to me. He has given me a heart and a love for the Jewish people, y'all. I just want you to know that's where your pastor's head is at. Because God said he put a love for the Gentiles that cost Paul his life. So it's no issue for us to have a love for his people. Oh, by the way, he says, I'll bless those who bless them, and I'll curse him who curse him. So it would behoove us all to develop a love for God's people. But in that Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, I think I'm getting a clearer picture of it. This is not just the only thing that it means, but I think I'm getting a clearer picture of it. In the church today, many Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians do not believe that the Jewish people need the gospel message. They have been told by different people on television and radio and books, no, God's got a deal worked out with them. They've been told by the Orthodox Jews, We don't need that. We don't need what you have. And so many Bible-believing, God-fearing people have backed off. And then don't forget, in this day and age, you're going to be called bigoted, intolerant, narrow-minded. Understand, God's word is narrow, and it doesn't change. So when I see this, he says, as life from the dead, and I see the hardness. I went to Israel last year in April, and people loved on me. They were nice. They were kind. But when it comes to that tenderness towards the word of God, it's not there, y'all. It's a hardness. It's a hardness. And in Ezekiel, God sends his prophet to the valley of dry bones. And it's like the field of harvest for us with the Jewish people today. And God asked him a question. He said, can these bones live? Now, when you see a valley of dry bones, you know that something really bad happened, even to the extent that they didn't have time to even bury the casualties. Because in all wars, no matter who the people are, they bury the casualties. But he comes out, hears this, he sees these bleached, dry bones everywhere. And the word of God says, can they live? Just like many Christians are saying, well, Pastor, you don't know. I got a Jewish friend, and he's hard. He's hard. He don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. Oh, no, he's hard. Prophet said, I don't know, God. I don't know. But you know. Y'all, that's why I'm telling you. In these passages from verse 11 to 25, since God knows the beginning, the end from the beginning, he's saying to you, he's saying to me, I know what the man is preaching to you about. And I know you can't see it. I can't see it happening. Lord, this is 2019. People don't do like this. This is 2019. When people make up their mind, they have made up their mind. They are settled in. They're locked in. And nothing can change their mind. Can these bones live? I don't know, Lord. God said, here's what you do. Prophesy to them. Preach.
Give them the word. Give them the word, see what happened. Just start talking. Just start talking. Just be obedient to the word of God. Trust him for the results. And the Bible says that Ezekiel started prophesying to the bones. I won't go through the whole sermon, but I'll tell y'all this much. He said he started hearing a rumbling. About that time, I'm gone. Okay? I'm gone. But he started preaching and preaching and preaching and telling people about the goodness of God. I saw the street preacher on downtown Dallas years ago, and I'm thinking, who is this man? He's kept saying, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. And I said, is this guy only got one verse that he does? That's it. Because he had people shouting at him, throwing stuff at him, and he was undeterred. He just kept telling them about Jesus. At some point, you and I have got to get to the point where we don't care what people say about us. Let them unfriend you. Don't worry about it. God will give you a real friend. Tell them about Jesus. Will these bones live? And the Bible says that he all of a sudden the bones started coming together. And he could have stopped there. He could, but he didn't stop. He said, kept preaching. And he says, then the sinews and the ligaments start coming. And he says, should I stop now? Don't stop now. Just keep telling them. Keep telling them. Keep telling them about Jesus. Don't back up. Don't back down. Stand on the word of God. Understand all the philosophy that you've ever been taught is the accumulation of man's wisdom. And man's wisdom does not roll with God's word. It just doesn't.
He says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and my ways aren't your ways. So the Bible says, when we preach, when we teach, when we give the word of God to that Jewish man, to that Jewish woman, understand, they might not invite you to come and tell them about it, but if you love them, just keep speaking the word of God. Just keep speaking the word of God. And he goes on to say, he goes, now understand, I want you to get this part. We go back to the branches. We go back to how God had originally started with the Jews. And now it appears like the Jews have been broken off. The branches have been broken off. And he said, I broke those branches off so that I might graft you in to the tree. The song that we play for our radio program, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in the olive tree. Okay. He says, I did this. He said, I purposely broke off some of the branches so that I could make some room to graft in the Gentiles. Oh, that sounds good. Well, since, well, and then what would be the natural reaction of the Gentiles? Well, hey, we must be really special because God turned his back on his people just so he could bring me into his kingdom work. And these verses right here, verses 15 through 21, they explain to us and they expound to us that's not the case. God said, the reason I separated some of the Jews from some of the branches is because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. He said, and you right now, you stand as, you have been grafted in. We were a wild olive tree, and we were grafted into the good olive tree. And he said, he goes, understand, I broke off some of those branches so I could make some room for you, so I could bring you and graft you in. He said, but don't be too high-minded. He goes, don't start thinking more of yourself than you should ought to. We have a thing going around called replacement theology, where many people in the church think that they're the new true Israelites. That may be the case, but they didn't get it out of the Bible. They didn't get it out of the Bible. The Bible says that the Israelites, the Jews are the Jews, and the Gentiles are the Gentiles. He says, but understand, I've brought you all into this one tree. I've grafted you into this tree. And remember, you stand by faith. You stand by faith. Now, here's the mystery. You stand by faith, but if you get too high-minded, he said, he'll break you off too. That's not talking about losing your salvation. That's a whole different sermon. You cannot lose your salvation. You're God's child. You can be set off to the side, but you cannot lose your salvation, because then that means God's word is not true. God said, you're mine. Y'all, don't let anybody take you down that path. He said, if I could break off the original branches and graft in the wild branches, don't you know that if the branches that were broken off would come out of unbelief and come into belief, I would graft them right back in? Don't you know that? He says, I'm God. He goes, you have to understand, I made a promise to the Jews, and I base my convictions on the fact that God has kept his word to the Jews through thick and thin, through belief and unbelief. He says, I'll give you the same promise. I never leave you. I never forsake you. Oh, y'all. Verse 21. We talked about God's plan to salvation, God's plan of salvation, God's plan of reconciliation. And then we get here to verse 21 where we see, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now, verse 22. Behold, church. Stop. Behold. Pay attention. The goodness and severity of God. Folks, God has two sides. Goodness and severity. He has many sides. This is just two of them. Goodness and severity. How many times have you been told a loving God
would not send anybody to hell. Raise your hand. How many times you've been told a loving God? Wait, well, would a loving God make his people wander around in the desert for 40 years till all the old folks drop dead? Would a loving God swallow up the entire Egyptian army? Would a loving God send an angel down to slay 285,000 men on one night? Would a loving God do that? The answer is heavens yes. Because a loving God is a holy God. And he will turn this world upside down to protect those who belong to him. What mama out here wouldn't take care of her baby? God, how y'all going to accuse God of being too severe? No, that's love. That's why we can call on him in a time of need. Amen, because you're his child. You're his child. Even if you're his wayward child, what old boy in the hog pen say? Old boy in the hog pen, he say, I done messed up big time. I mean, oh, man, but you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to offer my daddy a deal. I'm going to say, Daddy, you got some servants who live worse than I do. I come be one of them. His daddy wouldn't let him get it out of his mouth. Because you're his child. All you got to do is say, I'm sorry. Are there consequences? Yes, there's consequences for sin. But one of them is, God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You're his child. Rest on that. We are his children. He says, therefore, behold the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If that goodness is conditional, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. What's he talking about there? God's blessing you. God's blessing you. God got you up this morning. God gave you a way to get here. God put a little change in your pocket. And if he didn't put a little change in your pocket, he gave you a way to go to your, tap on you, call your brother, say, hey, I need a couple bucks. Hey, okay, you got it. He has put people in your path. He's good. He's good. So don't. Let the world know. Stop po-mouthing. When you got Jesus, when you got a father who got the cattle, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills, will you please stop talking about woe is me? Please. Start talking about how good God been to you. Tell folks how broke you used to be. Tell folks how you didn't have enough money to pay attention. Just tell them how you used to sit there and try to guess how many miles before you run out of gas. Just tell them. And then tell them how God brought you through. Tell them. Tell them about that job that God gave you. Don't be talking about that crazy boss. Tell them about how good the job you got. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Tell them about his goodness. Be God's advertisement. Be God's advertisement. Be his billboard. And be his billboard that some Jewish person might look at you and say, what must I do to get that joy? I've heard about God. In Psalm 51:8, he says, make me to hear the joy and gladness. It's like having a radio station. You know there's radio waves going all around, but you can't tune into the station. You ain't on the right frequency. You can't. And the psalmist is saying, make me. You know what? When God puts one of us who loves him and his people, when he puts you in their path, they're going to say, I hear something. I hear something. And I hear the sounds of joy. I hear the sounds of joy. And this is a Gentile. But I hear the sounds of joy. That's what this whole thing is about, y'all. I need your attention so that you know you're a main player in this. You're not a scrub. You're not sitting on the bench. You're on the field. You're a main player. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature,
into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which is of the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" God is saying when they come back, they're coming back with something, it's something special, though. When God gets, when the Jewish community gets on fire for God, you're going to see salvation. You're going to see the word preached like you ain't never seen the word preached before. It's, again, he took 12 men, and he turned the world upside down. Amen. And verse, last thing we're going to talk about is God's plan for the nation. God has a plan for all the nations of the world. Verse 25, he said, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." God says, I need your attention. Please listen to this. Understand. And he said, this was a mystery. He said, this was not known before now. The Jewish people didn't know about it. The Gentiles didn't know about it. Only God knew about it. And he's revealing it to the Apostle Paul so that he might reveal it to us. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And then when he's speaking about that, he goes, I don't want you to be uninformed, which is part of being ignorant. And then there's another part of being ignorant, willfully ignorant, dumb on purpose. I don't want to know, God, because I don't want to give out your word. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know what God has in store for you. I want you to know what God is asking of you. And I want you to go and get started going to work in the fields of harvest. I love that. God has a plan of salvation. God has a plan of reconciliation. And his plan for the nations is that, turn your Bibles to Zechariah 8, 22 through 23. Zechariah. This is how it all plays out, y'all. When God's plan of salvation is spoken out, when God's plan of reconciliation is lived out, God's plan for the nations comes to pass. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. "Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in" where? Where's that city? Jerusalem. Wait a minute, I thought we were trying to figure out who owns that city. Oh, God's people own Jerusalem. Amen. Amen. Y'all, this is, read your Bible, understand what's playing out today is prophesied yesterday. Years ago. "Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have," what's that word? "Heard that God is with you." Amen. Y'all, there's going to come a day in the future when all this is going to be played out. Everything that God has said is going to be played out. He said people of all nations are going to be meeting in where? In Jerusalem. God's city. Indisputable, undeniable. God's city. And he goes, and they're going to gather together to worship the Lord. Guess what? It's all going to happen because you and I are going to pay attention and participate in God's plan. Can I get an amen on that? Are you ready to participate in God's plan? We're going to participate and do what God has called us to do, because one day he's going to call all nations together. And we're going to sing that song. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the blessed bright and morning, he'll prepare for us a place. What's it say? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven,
What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Do I have your attention? Amen. God bless you. God bless you.